Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
It is an AFC South Championship Monday here. Reaction Monday. Texans are AFC South champs, second year in a row. Got a lot of acknowledgments to get to a little later on in this segment. Let's relive yesterday through the voice of Mark Vandermeer. There were some big plays in this game. Not a ton of them on offense, except for 2 Nico Collins touchdowns, both of which, spoiler alert, you'll hear. But the first real big play of the game, and you knew the Texans were going to probably need some turnovers where you could see how it was going offensively for them. Will Anderson Jr. showing up again, man. This is great to see. This got him to double digits in sacks for the first time in his career, and he got the fumble to go with it.
On 3rd and 4, Tua, pressure arriving, Tua. Ball is out as Will hits him. It's loose, and the Texans are going to pick it up. Settle all over the football. Houston with the takeaway. Strip sack.
And Tim Settle's been a nice pickup too, man.
Tim Settle, on that play, I think DeNico Autry was rushing inside. On a lot of those sacks and pressures, it was multiple guys coming clean. Yeah, no, Tim Settle. Tim, I told you yesterday, I love watching Tim Settle rush up the middle because it's one of those videos you see on TikTok of a hydraulic press smashing something that, you know, when it just slow, it kind of, it's not moving with great speed or anything, but it's not slowing down
right.
at all. And
yeah.
then all of a sudden the bowling ball shatters. And that's what, like Tim Settle and the entire front four did a really good job yesterday just making life uncomfortable for Tua. And as we thought, it probably wasn't going to mean a whole bunch of sacks. Because they get rid of the ball so fast.
Yeah.
Tua just throws a bunch of screens, basically. But they were affecting the plays.
The 2 sacks, though, they had 3 sacks. One of them was Tua running out of bounds with a yard behind the line of scrimmage. The 2 other sacks were completely impactful. The one you just heard from Will Anderson, that was midway through the second quarter, and it set up a touchdown that you're about to hear. And then the Danielle Hunter sack, man, to go from 1st and 15 to 2nd and 25. Mm-hmm. On the second to last drive of the game, putting them in the shadows of their own goalposts right there. I mean, that that snuffed that drive out.
I would say, though, even the one where Tua ran out of bounds, that was still, that was a legit sack in that it wasn't like a designed rollout he just, like, he got flushed out of
Daniil
the pocket.
Daniil chased him out of bounds. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That was a half Tua Toa, half Daniil Hunter joint.
Right. A few plays later, you get the Texans recover that fumble. Tim Settle jumps on the ball. They get the ball at the Miami 28. And then 4 plays later, bam.
Here's CJ taking the snap, looking. CJ scrambling to the left, squaring up. CJ throwing back of the end zone. Caught, Nico Collins. Touchdown, Houston. Stroud with the improvisation to find Collins in the end zone.
That was a Mahomes throw.
Oh, yeah, that, back across his body.
Dude, and through a maze of people, at least from where we were sitting up top. You know,
away from his body, not
across
his body.
Yeah, he's running to his left.
So I watched the TV broadcast of that afterwards, mm-hmm. and one thing Trent Green had pointed out was that CJ might have had, maybe should have thrown it to Ogunbowale over the middle. In rewatching that play, I'll give CJ it's weird to say I'll give him a pass on a play in which he threw a touchdown, but we also want him to, you know, to get rid of the ball on time and everything. That was a 3-man rush, and I think CJ's learned this lesson as a young quarterback that, man, with a 3-man rush, you got somebody dropping off, and usually that's where quarterbacks end up throwing a pick to a defensive lineman or somebody right over the middle that they just don't see. So with a 3-man rush, he did have time. But I think something I saw yesterday that I was comfortable with was that as the play was extended, CJ was fleeing okay pockets just to try to stretch things out and get the scramble drill going. And that play was similar to that. The pass protection was good. I think he just didn't want to throw into danger with a 3-man pass rush over the middle, and then he ends up finding Nico.
Things got crazy at the end of the half in this game. The Texans were up 10-6. And they had the ball. They had the ball under 2 minutes. They got the ball back right after the 2-minute warning. And they drive to about midfield. And then, you know, you're driving, you're trying to get a field goal. They're getting the ball to start the second half. So you try to get a score, and then you got a chance to score again. And there's a miscommunication between center and quarterback.
CJ bobbles the snap. There's a fight for it, and the Dolphins might have it. There's a scrum, and Miami comes out of the pack with it. It's Brooks. He's got it left side, and he goes out of bounds along the sideline inside the Houston 40. Disaster on that play.
Disaster is the perfect word for it. Yeah, CJ wasn't ready for the snap.
He just wasn't ready for the ball. That was it felt a little bit like the first half of the season when there was just so many glaring miscues and miscommunications on the offensive line.
Yep.
That unfortunate, but obviously, like, not who knows whether it was Patterson or CJ's fault.
Right, right. Yep. So you're thinking, okay, they're at least going to go up 13-6. You know, you get 15 more yards from where they were at when they fumbled, and you're in range for Kyme Fairbairn. Instead, the Dolphins get the ball back, first and 10 at the Houston 38. Because when Jordan Brooks recovered it, he was able to run it into Texans territory. That was an impressive fumble recovery, too. He reached down with one hand and picked it up like a loaf of bread.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
It was impressive, yeah.
I'll give my grudging praise of him. Him and Achan reeling in Kalen Bullock.
Yeah, he returned it 14 yards. However, a couple of plays later, as the Dolphins got a penalty on first down, so now they're back at about midfield. A couple of plays after that, Tua Tagovailoa. Picked off by Kalen Bullock.
Tua fakes the toss, looking, firing over the middle, and it's intercepted. Here's Bullock to his left, 40, 50, to the sideline, shot out of a cannon, 30, 20, 15, 10, and wrestled down inside the 10. Catch and run, Kalen Bullock, what a pick.
He was shot out of a cannon. Like, he when he caught that, I don't know if Kalen Bullock ran track in high school.
He looked like a track runner. Looked,
well, and the angle, like all he had to do was run straight.
And he was striding out. Yeah. And he just moves. But we could see. I went back. I watched the TV copy during the break, and the TV didn't do justice to how fast Achan was running to catch up to him.
I know.
I mean, it wasn't like he had a really good angle on him or anything. And then. I mean, it was still a little bit of Achan had to kind of break down a little bit. Bullock almost deked him. It was impressive. But the whole thing about that play, which was really cool, was on the previous series, Kalen Bullock missed an interception by just pouncing on a throw over the middle. And it was a dumb throw by Tua. And then they come back on the next series. And credit to D'Amico and Matt Burke. the way they were shifting and rotating the defensive backs at the snap, it confused Tua. And Tua thought that Kalen was going to be deeper on there. And I think in Tua's mind, he's like, I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm going to throw shallow this time. But Bullock was right there. I mean, that was a great couple of series because they had set it up. And then even after it worked the first time and Kalen Bullock didn't come up with the interception, they just kept rotating the defensive backfield, and it fooled them on that play in a second straight series.
Can you imagine if you put Derek Stingley Jr.'s hands on Kalen Bullock? Like, if he had Derek Stingley's hands, because he's dropped a few interceptions.
He's Omer Asik sometimes.
A little bit. Like, he's been, make no mistake, Kalen Bullock has been tremendous this year.
Yeah.
5 interceptions, better than anything you could have imagined. As you pointed out earlier in the show, yesterday was a game where it wasn't going to be just about his playmaking ability, but about his football IQ. And he played very, very well as the single high safety.
I think he's established well enough now. His ceiling is very, very high. He could end up being a really good safety. For him to just take it up into genuinely elite, he's got to be on the jugs machine.
Jugs machine all off season long.
I want to see on the jugs machine for half an hour after practice. Jugs.
Absolutely, yeah. We chant... Jugs.
We're at a frat party, and girls start acting crazy. We're like, no. We want Kalen to leave the party. Stop it, you harlots. We're just asking for Kalen to leave the party
bunch
and go to the jugs machine.
Bunch of strumpets. All right, so second half hits, and the Texans get the ball to start the second half. They move the ball a little bit. You know, Tank Dell gets a catch. Joe Mixon gets a catch. They're moving into Miami territory. They get a 3rd and 2 at the Miami 44. And, man, CJ launches that ball, and it's like, oh, we're going to get a long touchdown here to start the second half. Mm-hmm. We're going to get the second half scoring out of the way early here.
Right, yeah.
We don't even need to talk about them not scoring in the second half of games. We're going to get out of the way early, and then, bloop, off of John Metchie's hands on a 3rd and 2. So it's 4th and 2 at the Miami 44. Earlier in the game, there had been a 4th and 2 or a 4th and 1, well, I think a 4th and 2, that D'Amico chose to kick the field goal instead of go for it.
Mm-hmm.
This time, he lined up for the punt, but ultimately chose to go for it.
And it's a fake. And running around the right side, Dare, 40, 35, 30, 20, 15, and ripped out at the 10. The ball comes out. Oh, no.
He may be down. He was down, I think.
The Dolphins say they have it. There's a big scrum.
I don't know now. Looking at the replay.
Jeez, after situation. Review, the runner was down by contact.
Oh, he's down. His elbow's down. He's way down. Okay.
The initial replay did look, or at least the way it is in the stadium, or sometimes you're watching the actual TV copy, like on delay.
Yep.
It did look like it was a legit fumble at first. Yeah. I thought for sure it was.
It was a quick review.
Yeah.
That review didn't take long.
It was very clear once you watch the angle.
The right angle, yeah.
And Tommy Townsend shoved somebody and got away with it.
Did he?
Yeah, they flagged because they got the unsportsmanlike. The Dolphins got the unsportsmanlike.
Tommy's a nice guy. We had him on the postgame show in the preseason, and he's a super nice dude. But he can get a little chippy out there.
He's got a fiery side to him.
Remember he told that guy on the Steelers to catch the ball, biatch?
Yeah, well, and that was in the same preseason game where Tank Dell took a big hit on the sideline.
Yeah, from Cam Johnston.
Which, by the way, nice seeing Tank Dell out there as a returner.
Yes, it's not acknowledge me yet, and I don't have it in there for that. Quick pre-acknowledge me acknowledgement for Tank Dell as the punt returner.
Acknowledge me.
That is a very nice adjustment by this team. They're obviously having a hard time getting Tank the ball this year for whatever reason on offense. Him getting 3 or 4 touches in the return game, he's going to break one.
Yeah.
He's going to break one.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. And even on the end around yesterday where he doubled, it was almost like
2 guys.
I wish it were designed that way. Yeah. The play didn't work. It tends to happen in the run game. And yet, he serpentined his way into a quadruple reverse end around.
Which is not the way it was supposed to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got 15 yards.
So pre-acknowledgement.
Careful with that pre-acknowledgement.
That's a
premature acknowledgement.
Sperm in there sometimes.
Premature acknowledgement, yes.
More potent than you think.
That fake punt, the Kalen Bullock interception and the fake punt by Dare, especially because they were within that, they call it, the middle 8 minutes, last four of the first half. First 4 of the second half just felt like huge. They felt like the 2 biggest plays in this game. Like the Texans, keeping that momentum and then being able to score a touchdown from Nico Collins.
CJ fakes the give, boots out to the right. He's on the roll. CJ looking. CJ trying to buy some time. Throws to the end zone. Caught! Nico Collins! Touchdown number two on the day.
What a player Nico Collins has become.
He and CJ made that. I mean, that was a semi-scramble drill. CJ was rolling out to his right.
It's extended. An extended play, right?
Yeah.
Because
Nico's looking around for a dead spot.
And Robert Woods, like, lots of credit to Robert Woods for sticking with it, getting two bites in on that edge rusher.
Yeah.
It was, and I can't remember, was it Chop Robinson? But it was... Yeah, that was a really good play by Robert Woods. Very scrappy.
And then Nico and CJ just made that look like a video game. Like,
yeah, that's the...
CJ just flips the ball to him, and Nico casually catches it and gets both feet inside the pylon there.
It's one of those things that if we lived in a different era, I would start to worry that maybe CJ is almost creating a scramble drill, sometimes intentionally, too much, except that with Nico... They are so good in the scramble drill or in extending plays that when CJ leaves a clean pocket, I'm all right if he feels like he's got a good feel for what Nico's going to do and where the coverage is. I think a lot of times that's what they're looking for, and it's worked out in the red zone. They got to do something to score in the red zone.
I am telling you right now, I am most confident that the good things are going to happen when CJ rolls out to his right.
Yeah.
It feels like for whatever reason, he's just very comfortable keeping his eyes downfield and finding open guys.
Well, and especially if it's Nico. I think a lot of times when guys roll to the right, the problem is that at times it turns it into a half field, and it's a lot easier to cover a half field.
Yeah.
But if you've got a quarterback who can throw back across the formation safely, it opens things up a lot.
It does. Okay, so the Texans score there. They go up 20-6. And you think, like, okay, well, maybe this is the day that they just put the foot on the throat and we don't have to stress very much. The Dolphins get the ball back after that. They put together a really nice drive. They put together a 6.5-minute drive to get into the red zone. They got it first and 10 at the Houston 15. Eventually, though, 4th and 7 at the Houston 12, they had to settle for a field goal attempt. Thought the Texans did a really good job, Seth, of playing bend, don't break in this game, giving up a couple field goals. This would have been a third field goal, except penalty on MJ Stewart. And so now it's 4th and 2.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I would point out real quick is that, I mean, they were in single high coverage a lot. It wasn't a soft defense. I mean, part of it was that I think they were being very careful to keep everything in front of them. Right, yeah. But it was the Dolphins were having some success moving the ball.
Yeah, in that drive particularly, they moved it 78 yards total on that drive. 4th and 7, though, and so you're feeling like, okay, it's 20-6 at the time. Sanders makes the field goal. I can deal with 20-9. You're still up 2 scores.
Yeah.
Defense is playing well. We didn't know that Tua had a couple more turnovers in him at the time. Instead, MJ Stewart gets the penalty. The Dolphins accept the penalty, and then on the very first play, well, they only had one play. It was 4th and 2. They throw into the end zone. Jonnu Smith, touchdown in the back of the end zone. Jonnu Smith's been incredible. He was the best thing they had going offensively yesterday, the Dolphins. They missed the extra point, so that felt like it was a little heat off. You know, to tie the game, the Dolphins need a touchdown and a two. But it's 20-12 at that point. Texans come back out, and their response to that is to go 3 and out and gain 1 yard.
Yeah.
So now the Dolphins have the ball back. They're once again moving it now, okay? And so now you're into late in the third quarter, into the fourth, and it's early fourth quarter, and the Dolphins have now driven for what could be a tying touchdown into the red zone. It's 3rd and 5 at the Houston 20, and then this happens.
Tua in the gun. Here's the snap. Tua, quick fire, right side, and intercepted by Stingley. He's got it across the 15 and wrestled out of bounds by Hill. Derek Stingley Jr., the INT. He turns back Miami.
Just a massive play there, man. I mean, they are in the red zone. They're 3rd and 5 at the Houston 20. And Stingley steps in and makes that pick.
And right you're there. Testing. I mean, you know, Tua's got to make something happen at that point. In a perfect world, you recognize, like, okay, well, that's Derek Stingley.
Right.
Am I going to throw a 50-50 ball up in the air against a shorter wide receiver? Probably not a good idea.
Right.
You should have found another option on that play.
Well, that was the first interception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The first one. Yeah. We're going to hear the second one and acknowledge me in a second. But yeah, like Stingley. That was huge, man. Like the Dolphins were doing to the Texans what the Jags were doing to the Texans in the game before the bye week, which was the Texans had 23-6 lead. now all of a sudden they're moving the football around on you.
That's poor listening by me. I knew we were coming up on Acknowledge Me, so I assumed you were playing the second interception, so I wasn't listening to the actual highlight.
That's okay.
Apologies to everybody.
That's okay. Apologize to Stingley. Don't apologize to me. You know, you got to get this. Yeah.
Well, Tua probably.
Yeah. So Stingley gets the pick there, and then the Texans get the ball back, don't do much with it. The Dolphins get the ball back. They have to punt to the Texans. Danielle Hunter got a sack in that sequence. The Dolphins were getting penalties and whatnot.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Dolphins eventually get the ball back with under 2 minutes to go to try to drive and get a tying touchdown. And this is where we will lead into Acknowledge Me, because the very first person that you can shift the music, Ben. Give me the Acknowledge Me music. We acknowledge Derek Stingley Jr.
Acknowledge me!
Because he's the best cornerback in football right now, and this is what it sounded like. Stingley making the game-clinching play.
Tua takes the snap. Tua with pressure, throwing downfield to his right, and intercepted! Stingley again! That's going to do it! The Texans are going to beat Miami! Stingley's second pick seals the deal!
That's a good call.
And Houston will get its ninth win!
Good call by Mark Vandermeer there. That was an excellent call on that interception. Stingley's been great. He was phenomenal yesterday. Again, that was a play, Seth, where I think 99% of defensive backs... first of all, of the other 99% of defensive backs, 70% of those aren't running with Tyreek Hill down the sidelines, probably. Stingley's in his hip pocket down the sideline. I think most guys are happy to knock the ball away right there. Stingley coming down with that football, like, his hands are amazing.
Yeah, no, his ability on the, he's like DeAndre Hopkins, but on the defensive back side of things. Well, that's like they say about him all the time, is there, you know, he could have played wide receiver, you know, and it's just for this team, it would just end up being part of a disappointing offense if you're playing wide receiver. I prefer that he be a defense.
Complaining
he can do more for the offense as a defensive back than he can as a wide receiver.
Got to get the ball to Stingley. What the hell? Be complaining about that. Here's D'Amico Ryans after the game on the season that Derek Stingley Jr. is having.
He's definitely, to me, that play he makes there to end the game in 2 minutes, that's a big-time play, and not a lot of players can do that. So, I know all the games aren't over, but I think he's very deserving of player of the week, player of the month. He's done an outstanding job of just when teams even try to challenge him, like, he's going to go get the football, right? And can't be more proud of Sting just for what we ask him to do. He steps up every week. No matter what we ask him to do, he steps up and he continues to grow as a player and pro and make the plays we need to make. And there's not a better play I've seen than that play he made today.
Not a better play. He said it again in the locker room. We'll hear that in the next segment. D'Amico Ryans. He said that might be the best play I've ever seen, the Stingley interception right there. It's high praise, man. High praise. Stingley's going to be so rich. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. He's going to make so much money. This would be the time they might extend him this next offseason after, yeah.
After this season, he's going to make so much money. Oh, yeah. My God.
Well, that's where, the most common comment I got yesterday was, why can't the Texans evaluate offensive line talent the way they do defensive back talent? Because, they've hit it out of the park so far. I mean,
Stingley, Petrie, Lassiter, and Bullock within three drafts of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a high-performing young secondary lineup right there.
Right.
Two corners, two safeties.
Yeah, so with the offensive line, well, Blake Fisher and Jarrett Patterson,
What did you think of Fisher yesterday?
I thought he was, for the first three quarters, I was very, very pleased.
Yeah.
Even the sack that he gave up in the third quarter, he didn't give that up. He blocked Chop Robinson. It's just that CJ scrambled, you know. So that wasn't, he did a good job in pass protection there. The fourth quarter, he had a couple of rough snaps, but also that Chop Robinson sack where he got beat clean, where Fisher got beat clean around the edge.
Yeah.
Man, I think Robinson was maybe a full step or two offsides on that play, and they didn't catch it.
Yep.
And you know, they probably didn't call it because Blake Fisher did a. I'll credit Blake Fisher's reaction time. Blake Fisher got started early too, like. If they wanted an egregious injustice, I think they probably could have, they could have flagged him for a false start because he left because the defensive end was across the line of scrimmage. So it would have been defensive encroachment, but they just didn't get it. So I was very pleased. And the offense didn't have to scheme to help Blake Fisher nearly as much as I thought they would.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now the run blocking was not great yesterday. It was another, great, here we go.
Yeah, that will not get acknowledged in this segment, and that's what we can talk about that after this segment. But it's really sad that I'm at a stage where like, all right, they just ran for 23 yards on 12 carries again.
Yeah,
this is the standard, I suppose.
I mean, there's so many times where it's like, credit Dalton Schultz for a couple of his receptions in the fourth quarter, but my God. I mean, there's times he's just standing around out there. He looks lost and confused.
They missed Cade Stover a little bit.
He's standing on one of C.J. Stroud's scrambles, okay. Schultz doesn't have the one that he scrambled for a first down.
Yeah.
He didn't have anybody to block, so he just stood there.
Well, it's a good seat,
just
Seth.
Standing erect. And I'm like, at first I was thinking, like, well, maybe he's ready for the ball. Like, no, he wasn't down in a football position. He's just standing there watching.
Man, if I have a good seat, I like to sit and watch, man. I don't blame Dalton Schultz. He's got a great seat right there to watch it.
I don't understand why so many of these offensive players don't want to work.
Hey,
like, you're like, man, there's guys out there that you could hit.
It's true.
Go do it.
Yeah, you're allowed to hit these guys.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans.
Acknowledge me.
I'm acknowledging D'Amico Ryans. AFC South champs, Brian. As a once average coach said,
doesn't matter, Brian.
But
AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
I forgot the but.
Yeah. Brian. That was Brian T. Smith. Talking to. This has not been an easy season. I don't think, even though their record is better now than it was through 14 games last year, because the offense has been just so slipshod. It's not been good. D'Amico's got some tough decisions ahead of him after the season is over, I think, if the offense continues to play this way. But, man, two division titles in two seasons after the two seasons that preceded him. Like, honestly, and I know, you know, D'Amico Ryans has coordinated an incredible defense this year. Special teams is great. He's changed the culture in that building. I know people are upset that the offense has taken such a big step backwards. but I will roll with DeMeco Ryans any day, that he got this thing turned around to the tune of two division titles his first 2 years. He's the sixth head coach in the NFL, Seth, since the year 2000 to win division titles in his first two seasons as a head coach.
I think
I'd love to know what the other ones inherited
right
before they got
There's so much common ground between the Lions and the Texans in terms of a turnaround that people didn't necessarily expect. The Lions are 2 years ahead in that process in terms of when they hired their head coach.
Yes.
And I always try to remind myself, okay, yeah, 2021 was when everybody started like making the Lions the darling team. But in 2022, it ended up being a lot tougher. And they kind of reminded, like, okay, we made some inroads last year, mm-hmm. but the Lions started off, they were, 2-6 to start the season or whatever it was. It wasn't a beautiful season. They didn't make the playoffs that year, but they're still making progress. And I think that's where the reality sinks in that, yeah, you're reminded that in the NFL, it's not so easy to bring in free agents on offense and for it to all of a sudden click. And that also the quarterbacks, offensive linemen, everybody else, you gotta reinvent yourself every year.
Yep. So great job, DeMeco Ryans. You are acknowledged. Christian Harris.
Acknowledged. Coach
Christian Harris. It was good to see him back out there, man. I've not seen the snap counts yet. You had predicted that he would play about 50% of the snaps.
Yeah.
It may very well have been that. I just know that when he was out there, I just know that it felt like he played more than that. Because when he was out there, he was impactful. He had 8 tackles. He was around the ball quite a bit. My favorite thing Christian Harris did yesterday was after Derek Stingley Jr.'s second pick, ran straight up to Tyreek Hill, face mask to face mask, to say something to Tyreek Hill. Because you know Tyreek was probably chirping out there the whole game, because whatever he said needed to be said.
Tyreek Hill would be a classic target for my psychological warfare.
Oh, yeah.
Of trying to blame Tua as much as possible. With running backs, I would always point out how bad the blocking was for him. They tackle a running back for a loss, and be like, dude, I'll tell you what, man, this ain't your fault. Like, these guys suck. So with Tyreek, I would be talking a lot of smack about Tua. Because
mm-hmm.
Tyreek, you can say whatever you want to Tyreek, it's not going to hurt his confidence in himself. But if you start planting the seeds about how awful Tua is, or it's somebody else's fault, or man, McDaniel, can you believe this guy's wearing capri pants? NFL head coach wearing capris. That's sabotage from within, Sean.
They play at times like a team whose coach wears capris. At times.
When he called that timeout at the end of the first half, and he was like running onto the sideline with his pants all jacked up and everything. What are you doing here, Mike?
Yeah.
At some point, give it up. You're almost 40. Come on.
Plus, it's football. What are you like? That's not. It's football. All right, let's keep it moving. Jonathan Taylor.
Acknowledge me.
I'm acknowledging you for failure, Jonathan Taylor, because it helped the Texans clinch a division yesterday. He may have, I don't want to say single-handedly, it's a 53-man game, but if there was a play that screwed the Colts' playoff chances yesterday, it was Jonathan Taylor. And I don't know if you saw it or not.
I did not.
Okay, so here's what happened. The Colts are up 13-7 in this game at the half. They get the Broncos get the ball to start the second half. Bo Nix throws an interception. Bo Nix threw 3 picks yesterday. Yeah. Bo Nix was doing everything he could to keep the Colts in the playoff race. Throws an interception. Colts get the ball back. Second play, Jonathan Taylor into the clear for a 41-yard touchdown. However, does that Malachi Corley thing like he did against the Jets, dump the ball before the goal line? Ball rolls out of the end zone, like just perfectly rolls out of the end zone. They look at it. First, they called it a touchdown. They look at it on replay, and they say, runner dropped the ball before he crossed the goal line. It is a touchback. It's Broncos ball. The Broncos would go on to score the next 24 points in the game to win 31-13. Complete momentum shift. And I would submit that you go up 20-7 as the Colts, and now you're able to lean on Anthony Richardson in the run game and Jonathan Taylor in the run game being up 2 scores. Now they have to lean on Bo Nix throwing the ball in a game where he's thrown 3 picks already in the game. That lost the game for them. And so that I am acknowledging Jonathan Taylor for serving up an AFC South championship.
Thank you, Jonathan Taylor. Who did that to the Texans earlier in the season?
Malachi Corley on the Jets.
Yeah, yep. That's the Texans are good at that.
They're good at benefiting from idiocy
of other guys who are about to have one of the best plays of their life.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a sign of poor coaching. Fire Shane Steichen.
I like him as a coach.
I'd prefer to have somebody else out there.
You know, Clint, after the game, he's like, man, I would be telling all my guys, every single one of you, hand the ball to the referee when you cross the goal line. Clint's old school, man. Clint also hates when the guys do the windshield wiper point for the first down.
Oh, really? Does he really hate that?
He hates it.
I never heard that. I know he's a grumpy old man.
Yeah, he hates that. It comes with fatherhood sometimes. Yeah.
But I know it's a first down.
Wait a second.
But he wants them to hand the ball to the official after the touchdown?
After a touchdown. So that means spiking or anything?
Nope,
hand it to the official.
He's like 87 years old.
Well, because you know they're not going to.
Mike has been around for a while.
They're not going to Corley it if they do it, or Taylor it if they do it, if they hand it to the official.
Can we meet somewhere in the middle?
Nope.
You know what I would say?
No way, Chief.
You know what I would say? Kind of like you do with your special teamers.
Yeah.
Even if it's into the end zone, keep running through the end zone.
Yes.
I would say just touch the back of the end zone before you drop the ball.
There you go.
That's my standard.
Okay.
Then spike it or whatever. But as a matter of habit, touch the back of the end zone.
Okay.
Or do like the rugby players. The reason it's called a touchdown is because in rugby, you touch the ball down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's where you have to kick the extra point from.
That would be a fun, unique thing if somebody did that.
Right. Well, so do that. You can't spike it until you touch the ball in the end zone.
Okay. I'm going to acknowledge Andre Johnson.
I think
Seth is going to enjoy this bit of audio. You know, Andre was on the Pivot podcast last week. I don't know if you've seen any of the footage.
I saw that he was, and I have not seen any of the footage.
I'm going to play one clip right here, at least one. We'll see how friendly the clock is to us. Have to play this one. Andre Johnson, how was your one season in Seth's favorite city, Indianapolis?
The year I was in Indy, the first year after I left here, man, that was probably like one of the most miserablest times, you know, of my life. I enjoy being around the guys in the locker room, but as far as like outside of that,
right?
It was, man, that's the most I probably ever slept. Like,
I feel you.
You know, so those are the things I would say I would change. As far as like leaving here, no, I would have still stayed. They weren't going to let me leave anyway. I mean, I remember Rick Smith telling me, he said, you're retired before I let you leave.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you recall, he left here after Bill O'Brien told him, you'll probably only get 40 catches here next year.
Right, yeah, he was phased out. And he ended up getting like 41 catches
with the Colts. He had 41
with
the Colts.
That was one of those tough, if Bill O'Brien were a better coach, you could have, in hindsight, at some point, looked at that as like, wow, those are the tough decisions that good organizations make.
Yeah.
But then ultimately, because it turned out the way it did, it just felt like, you just screwed him for no good reason.
You already love Andre Johnson. I would imagine that cut makes you love him even more.
I never slept as much as I slept when I was in Indianapolis.
Most miserable time in my career.
That's what prisoners aim for.
Yes,
it's like, just give me some sleeping pills. I just want to sleep this out, you know? Like, just give me
some.
X days
off of the calendar.
It was like he was in prison.
Yeah,
he was in jail.
Yep. Yep.
A Jim Irsay created jail.
Yeah, that's right. Right, with a big horseshoe on the side of his head. Mm. So good job, Andre Johnson. Let's get this one more in here from college football over the weekend. Travis Hunter.
Acknowledge me!
Won the Heisman Trophy in the closest vote since 2009. This is what's crazy about this, is that it was the closest vote since 2009. And yet, Travis Hunter had almost twice as many first-place votes as the runner-up, Ashton Gentry from Boise State.
Yeah.
So the people who were backing Travis Hunter for the Heisman backed him hard. They voted for him first place. But that tells me there were a lot of ballots that had Travis Hunter fifth or not even on it. That it's that close overall, and yet that big a disparity in first place. And I wonder if, two things, Seth. I wonder if some of the voters had trouble. He's not the best wide receiver. He's not the best cornerback. I don't know what to do here. I also wonder if there's any backlash like Deion was talking about.
Is he a polarizing player because his coach is polarizing?
Colorado backlash.
Or did people feel like, you know, kind of the way people talked about Jadeveon Clowney in college. Like, did they feel like, no, he's getting too much recognition for just one thing?
One big
hit.
He's
a two-way player and all. With Hunter,
Travis
it would be
Hunter.
But you know who I blame? I think Shohei Ohtani. because of what you just said.
Okay.
If you look at the offensive stats, okay, John T is, you know, blows Hunter out of the water in a lot of ways. So I think people look at, oh, this is a two-way player in Travis Hunter, and yet he's not like the best at both things at the same time. That's what I expect. So they had said it at Shohei Ohtani. Basically, once in a century player, and because he doesn't measure up to Shohei Ohtani and his ability to be dominant on both sides, that's why they didn't think he was all that worthy of it.
Blaming the Heisman vote, the closeness of the Heisman vote is Shohei Ohtani's fault.
There was Stephen A. Smith and I have in common is that we want to try to blame Shohei Ohtani for stuff.
For everything. Yes. Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, that was Acknowledge Me. We acknowledge big
Shohei Ohtani cannot be the voice of American football.
All right, we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans in the locker room in the next segment. And a name getting mentioned, getting asked about in C.J. Stroud's post-game press conference that we have not heard about in a long, long time. An update on an injured Texan. From CJ Stroud.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Singing Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.